Well, today we're going to start the service and we're going to pray. If you'll put up slide one, then I'll let you know when to put slide two. These are our missionaries that we support, and it's kind of fitting because Jessica Reiner, her heart is for middle school and high school students. And then our next missionary, when we go to the next slide here in a little bit, our next missionary, yeah, there they are, the Andersons, God's given them a heart for college-age students. And so we'll go back to slide one. These are missionaries that we support, and this month our focus is missions. And so let me just state that if you are not faithfully, that means every month, if you're not faithfully giving to missions, Pastor Shannon and I would like to ask you to pray and ask God, what's the amount that you would want me to sacrifice and support our missionaries each month? And so we do this twice a year, once in February and then also in August, where we focus on missions. If you'll notice on the bulletin board in the hallway of our missions board, our new missions board that's up there, looks really nice. Great job. And so we have a heart for missions. We firmly believe that what God shared with us from a pastor friend, but also had shared to us in our hearts, is that if you take care of my kingdom, I'll take care of your church's needs. And so we're thankful to the Lord for that. And so Jessica Reiner, she's the Youth Alive missionary for Georgia. She travels across the state, equipping, training, and providing resources to students so they can launch. Her desire is to go to every youth group, every Assembly of God youth group, and if she can go to churches that are not Assembly of God, if she can go to youth groups in general, is her big heart, to help equip, train, encourage students, middle school and high school, to say, hey, you can be a missionary on your school campus. You can be a light for Jesus on your school campus. You can share the gospel of Jesus to your friends who may never step foot in your church, but because you go to school, because you have math class, because you have lunch together, you can share Jesus. And she wants to do that, and that's her heart. So this, if you just for a few moments, just join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jessica Reiner. We thank you, God, for, Lord, her heart to answer the call that you've called her, Lord, to be a missionary to these students, Lord. Thank you for the hunger and the passion that she has, that you've birthed within her to encourage students and to see students be used mightily by your Holy Spirit to win the lost, to disciple their fellow students, Lord, and to lead them, Lord, to walk with them, Lord, as they walk with you, Lord Jesus. So I thank you for Jessica Reiner. Open doors, Father. Lord, I pray that you'll open doors, Lord, for her to be able to go into youth groups, for her to be able to go in schools and do assemblies so that she'll be able to preach the gospel, share the gospel, share biblical truths to hundreds of students, Lord. So we just ask, God, that you would open doors for that. Provide, Lord, the necessary materials that she'll need to pass out to each student. Lord, you know her heart and she wants to be used. So use her in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next missionary, the Andersons. Like I mentioned, they were Georgia State missionaries. Now they're national missionaries. But our heart is still to support the Andersons because they're doing it on a national level instead of just Georgia level. This guy, sat down and talked with him one time and understand. This guy is so stinking smart. He's just so wise. But you know what? He has a heart that is so tender for the Lord, for the Holy Spirit. People would say that he's like a gentle bear because the dude's pretty tall and he's pretty big. But he has a gentle spirit about him and he loves Jesus. And he wants to see young adults come to know Jesus. And it's so awesome because he has allowed him to meet with certain students from Georgia Tech. If you don't know Georgia Tech, I mean, that's a really prestigious college. I mean, brainiacs go there, people from space and engineering. It's a big engineering school. And so it is so awesome when he shares testimonies of these young people that have never heard about Jesus and they come from another nation and he has the opportunity winning them to the Lord, discipling them, and now they're sharing Jesus to other students. That is his heart. So Father, we just come to you for the Andersons. We thank you, Father, the transition from Georgia to Springfield. We pray your blessings upon them. Open doors, Father God, Lord, for him to minister. Lord, I pray that you, oh God, will lead them by your Holy Spirit. Give them wisdom, Lord, of how to organize and orchestrate Chi Alpha, this ministry to college students, Lord. Help him, Father God, to find new innovative ways to be more effective than years past, Lord. I thank you for his heart. I thank you, God, for his service and his sacrifice to take his family to an unknown place, Lord, and to be used in a greater way, a greater capacity. So, Father, I pray for the Andersons. Bless them in Jesus' name. So, again, we focus on missions and how last week, if you weren't here last Sunday, I started on Acts chapter 13. So, if you want to go there in your Bibles, Acts chapter 13, we're going to focus on missions and the journey of the early church believers. The journeys of the early church believers and the modern day believers are similar. Why are they similar? Because the purpose is the same: Jesus. To share Jesus. To win the lost. Disciple those who have just come to know Jesus so that they can walk with you so that one day as they're being called, they'll be able to be sent. And that's important. From opposition to distractions and persecution, because these things try to stop what God wants to do. Just look at yourself. What oppositions, what distractions, what persecution, if you've experienced any, try to stop you from being the light of God that we are to be in this world. The witness that we're supposed to be to the lost. Slide 3, please. We must remember who called us out of darkness. And we have a journey with purpose, and that purpose is Jesus. I love each and every single one of you that are here today. And I'm thankful that you're here. And if you're new, I want to get to know you. So keep coming back. That's the only way we get to know you is if you keep coming back and you get involved in the services and the fellowship afterwards. That's how we get to know you. That's how you get to know us. But the purpose is, don't let this hurt you or offend you, but the purpose isn't you. The purpose is Jesus. And if you can find that your purpose is not the seat that you're sitting in, not the awesome praise and worship, but the purpose in your life is Jesus, regardless of what comes your way, you're going to keep trucking, you're going to keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to keep moving forward because the purpose is Jesus. So we must remember who called us out of darkness. I didn't call you out of darkness. I might have shared a prayer, I might have shared a devotional, I might have shared a sermon, and then it cut to your heart, and you came crying to God. It wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit that led you to the Father. It was the Holy Spirit that caused you to see the sin in your life, and it was God that was drawing you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He is our purpose, to walk with him on his behalf, to live on his behalf and with his anointing. So let's go to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 13. And it says here, now when Paul and his party, notice it says Paul and his party. I've always kind of thought, well, why doesn't it just say Barnabas and everyone else? I don't know. I have no idea. But it just says in the New King James Version, now when Paul and his party set sail from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now that's for another day. That's for another sermon. But that brought about a little opposition. So again, like I said, that'll be for another day. Father, we come to you and we thank you. Lord, you sent Paul and this party, and you sent them. God, just like each of us in this room, you're wanting to send us. It might be to school tomorrow, to our place of work tomorrow, to the place where we go and do our grocery shopping. To our neighborhood. God, help us to see that you are sending us too. Just because it's not a different country and we're not labeling ourselves missionaries because we're not like Jessica Reiner and the Andersons. God, you're sending us. Help us to see that you're sending us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Life in ministry will not always go the way you intended. Shannon and I learned that in 2008 when her parents said, hey, we want you to pray because we are going to resign in a year and we want you to pray, start praying about you becoming pastors. And we're like, man, no, that ain't working. We saw ourselves that we would be gray-headed youth pastors because we just loved students. We loved reaching out to students, and it was just something that God spoke to us many years ago about when he spoke to us about our calling. Little did we know that this was God orchestrating this. And so there'll be ups and there'll be downs, things that you don't think that, that's not how I thought things were going to go, God. And God can be like, well, tough. that's how the cookie crumbles. I mean, that's what I've called you to do. And so, again, The Lord is our purpose. And so last week I mentioned about Paul's journey, and that our journey with and in Christ is not about people and not about places. It's about Jesus. Now, some of you probably be like, man, I would love to be a missionary on some beautiful island one day, because you just want to live on an island. Listen, no matter how beautiful or how, it wasn't glamour and glitz in Calcutta, but those who go to the poorest of the poor to share Jesus, it was because they were called. For them to stay there that long, it's because they were called. And so the reason why placing people on a pedestal, I mentioned this last week, the reason why placing people on a pedestal is wrong is because Jesus ought to be there. And man, you or I do not have any right to sit on anyone's pedestal. It is Jesus. Our eyes must be on him because he is the author and the finisher. I'm sorry, but you're not my author and the finisher of my faith. You know, sorry, Jimmy, but you are not the author and the finisher of my faith. No. And rightly so, right? Because they're not perfect. Jesus is. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our central focus of our life. My next slide. My first point is this. Your life can be fruitful only. Everyone say only. Only through the Holy Spirit. Only through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't work on his benefit. He works on the benefit of the Father. That's why he'll teach us the truth of God's word. That's why he'll reveal to us the truth found in God's word. He'll reveal to us the things of God and not of himself. Holy Spirit is working in tandem with God the Father and God the Son. And we have the Holy Spirit. So the fruitfulness of our journey with Christ is based on these items. That the importance of being Spirit-led and walking in unity with him. Living according to the righteousness that Christ has clothed us with, that has clothed us with. And the fullness and the fruitfulness of our journey with Christ is based on standing on the word of truth and applying God's word to our life. Jesus said this in John 15, verse 4 and 5. He talks about how I am the vine, you are the branches. It's kind of like a parent saying, I pay for the groceries, and you live in my house, and we can do nothing without Jesus. We can do nothing without Jesus. I think of all my kids, they at one time or another, when they got their vehicle, got their car, it was new to them, and so there was just some certain phrases that they thought it was all theirs, and we're like, yeah, little do they know, who's paying the insurance. Yeah, little do they know who's putting gas in the car. And so, sometimes we do that to God. We forget. He's the one that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one that has placed his Holy Spirit in us. He's the one that's doing the work. If we surrender, he's the one that's got to do it. So we have to abide in the vine, as Jesus said. Remember what we focused on a few months ago. It takes a team to do ministry. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is wanting to highlight this. It takes Holy Spirit and you to partner with the Holy Spirit for you to be fruitful in your journey. Because without him, you can't. You can't be fruitful. It's like Jesus says, without him, you can do nothing. Together being Spirit-led, we bear much fruit. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13. I'm going to read verses 14 through 16. It says, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to them, saying, men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up and motioning with his hand and said, men of Israel, you who fear, I'm just picturing he's doing that. Men of Israel and you who fear God. Listen. This is awesome because the Holy Spirit is sending them. And there are truly people out there who are hungry for God's word, for God's truth, and we don't even know it. Holy Spirit sends them to this place. They're in the synagogue. And let me tell you, it's not a coincidence that one of the elders there stood up and said, hey, Paul, come on up here and share something. Share with us something. Holy Spirit organizes certain things. This is why we need to partner with him. You students, when you go to school, Holy Spirit's going to create an opportunity. When you go to work, Those of you that work, those of you, I would even say those of you that are stay at home. Someone's going to call you. Some telemarketer's going to call you. You know, you can go ahead and hang up on them, which is probably your first reaction is, hello, you hang up. You can probably share the gospel. Maybe the Holy Spirit, listen, I don't know. But the Holy Spirit might even create an opportunity for you to share a biblical truth to your child. That's even in the house. When you go to the store to get gas, you might come across an attendant, you know, a cashier, and they've been having a rough day, and you can tell, you can look at it, it's all over their face. They're angry, they're upset, you know, and you might just have an opportunity. The Holy Spirit might have created an opportunity for you. But if you're not in partnership with them, you're going to miss it. I'm so thankful that Paul and Barnabas didn't miss it. They knew that the purpose was Jesus and that the Holy Spirit was leading them. The Holy Spirit was sending them. Now they're in a synagogue. And then here they say, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, Paul's like, yeah, I do. Yes, I do. You see, Acts 13, verse 2 says this. The Holy Spirit said to the people that were praying and fasting. It says, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me. Don't miss that. Catch it. The Holy Spirit was saying, now separate to me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. This whole mission trip that they're on is Spirit-led and focused with Jesus' message. Holy Spirit will lead those who want to be led by him. And there was a question that was asked this morning in Sunday school that I just kind of want to reiterate on. How do you honor God? What are things that you do that honor God? We can kind of maybe come up with all kinds of different things. And I didn't want to answer. I was going to share my answer till now. When we humble ourselves and put our life on the line and say, God, you first. I mean, you just think about it with your finances. You humble yourself. Oh, but I really want that. You humble yourself and you say, God, I'm going to honor you first. Your time. Oh, I really would like to go do that. No, I'm going to deny myself and God, you first. What do you want me to do? You're writing your, I'm not sure how many of you have a to-do list, but you're writing your to-do list and you're about to hit number one. No, wait a minute, God, what do you want me to do? I think that's how you honor God every day, where you put him first. And I believe that's how we honor God. The Holy Spirit will lead those who want to be led by him. Holy Spirit will help you see. He will help create opportunities for ministry. Will you be readily available and submissive to him? That's important. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 22, verse 7. Remember when Jesus told his disciples to go prepare the Passover meal? And I think in Luke it might even say that it said Peter and John, that is what he sent. But it says in Matthew 22, verse 7, I'm sorry, that was not Matthew 22. I wrote Matthew 22, but it's not. What was it? Was it 14? I'll get there real quick. But anyway, I'm going to read the verses. Then came the day of the unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. I think it was Luke, not Matthew. I hate when I do this. Yep, Luke 22. Okay, not Matthew. Then came the day of unleavened, thank you so much. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. So they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? And he said to them, behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you will say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Then he will show you a large furnace, upper room, then make ready. So they went and found it just as Jesus had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. How many guys are carrying a pitcher in that town? That Jesus said, go into the town and you'll find a guy carrying a pitcher. You know, it's like last week I was mentioning about finding Waldo. You know, they're going to walk into the city and now their eyes are fixed on a man carrying a pitcher. Was there just one man? You know, I've I've experienced where the Holy Spirit laid on my heart to go talk to somebody and share something with them. There were times that I responded, and then there were times that I chickened out. I kind of chickened out, and I felt bad, and I said, God, forgive me. Forgive me, I don't want to miss another opportunity. Man, that person really needed to hear a word, and I missed it. God, forgive me. Listen, it really stinks. It just hurts inside when you miss it. Don't miss it. Paul and Barnabas didn't miss it. And so Jesus told them where to go, who to look for, and what to do. Do you know that the Holy Spirit does that today? If you will partner with him, you're going to go pump gas. And you might just think, well, you know what? I really need to go. And you're about to put your card in. And the Holy Spirit says, don't go inside. I'm really not. Go inside. You can actually put your card in there, pull it out, get your gas, and leave if you want to. Or you can hear the Holy Spirit say, go inside. Probably because there's an opportunity inside. And that if you and I will partner with the Holy Spirit, we'll hear what the Spirit wants to say to us, what wants to say through us to that person. This happens every time, all day, if you're listening. My next slide. My second point is walking in partnership with the Holy Spirit will create great opportunities of testimony and learning on your part. Barnabas and Paul are given an opportunity to share God's truth. It's not a coincidence they're in the synagogue. And so Paul begins to share with them from Egypt to the judges for about 450 years. We don't know how long this sermon or devotion is that Paul is having with these people in the synagogue. But from God bringing his children out of Egypt, talking about judges for over 450 years, then talking about Samuel the prophet, then speaking of God's word about David, saying that David was a man after God's own heart, even to John the Baptist, where Paul quoted John the Baptist saying, I am not he. I am not the one. I'm not even the one whose sandals I am worthy to loose. Statements of faith and truth were shared in the temple on this Sabbath day. How does that compare to us today? Well, I'm not sure if you want to start off with how God, you know, how God rescued his children out of Egypt, but you might want to share how God brought you out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Maybe you might begin to just share about what God has done and the miracles that he is, and the fact that you're a walking miracle. Maybe some of you can actually honestly say, I should have been gone. I should have been dead, but here I am today, and it's by the grace of God. And God has called me to this place to share this message to you. God loves you. God cares you. God has a plan for your life. And you won't know. But walking in partnership with the Holy Spirit, it's not so that you can have a great testimony. Listen, I'm not sure how many of you feel this way. I don't have a good testimony. I don't have a great testimony. My testimony is not like his. My testimony is not like hers. Can I encourage you with something? You were once lost, about to bust hell wide open. But the Holy Spirit convicted you. You saw the need to repent because of your sin, and your sin separated you from a loving God. You didn't come up with it. None of you woke up this morning saying, I'm going to get right with God today by yourself, unless the Holy Spirit gave you some wild dream that you woke up. Hopefully, you woke up and you were sweating and you were like, I'm going to get my life right. Yes, hopefully. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. But those of us, whether you're a student, employer, you're an employee, you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, or you're a retiree, the Holy Spirit can give you opportunities to do similar to what Paul and Barnabas were doing in the synagogue. And it doesn't have to be in the church. It could be wherever God is sending you. Share your story of sinful life, where you came from, of brokenness. Share your life of addictions. And then don't forget the great day, the day you found Christ and became a new person in him. So not just in synagogues or in the church services, but even at the checkout lines as well. Let's go back to Acts chapter 13, verse 38. It says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren. This is the great part of Paul's, you know, I'm not even sure if he was long-winded and actually took, you know, hours to share all of that information that he shared before. But dropping down to verse 38, it says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, talking about Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things and from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets come upon you. Behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. He wasn't worried about stepping on toes. He wasn't cookie cutting this. He wasn't, trying to, put some icing on the cake and trying to make it sweet. He was telling them the truth, something that we declare to you. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Anyone here hungry for the salvation that is found through Jesus? Anyone here hungry or desiring for the grace of God? To see that you need God's grace? Anyone here looking for the forgiveness that God can provide through a person who is repentant and confessing their faults to Jesus? You see, the same Jesus that Paul talks about is available today. Many people heard and were convicted. They were hungry. They wanted to hear more. They said, hey, will you be here tomorrow? Hey, will you be here next Sabbath? We're going to come. What an opportunity to have people be persuaded to have you come back. Just think about this. You go to whatever gas station, Circle K racetrack, and you keep going because the Holy Spirit is leading you to talk to that guy, Tim. He's leading you to talk to that girl, Kathy. And every time that you go, they're there working. Wouldn't it be awesome for them to just say, man, I love when you come in. You always just cheer me up. Don't take it like, oh yeah. No, see that the Holy Spirit is leading you to impact the life of Kathy or Tim. See that you are partnering with the Holy Spirit. This is our journey that we are privileged to be on, that we can have an impact on someone's life. The New Living Translation, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. We are not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so the people of Israel would not see the glory, even though it was destined to fade away. But the people's minds were hardened, and to this day, whenever the old covenant is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. And this veil can be removed only by believing in Christ. There are people today, Jews and those that don't even believe in God, they don't understand. There's a veil. They can't see it. They can't understand. Maybe a little while ago during worship service, maybe it got too loud for you. Maybe it did. Maybe you're thinking, why is it so loud? Maybe the great question would be, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Why can't I understand what's going on? People are coming forward and people are being touched. Holy Spirit is speaking to people. People are up here crying. People are getting all loud. God, is this a show? I mean, it's a valid question to ask God. But then to say, God, what am I missing here? Help me to see. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? And during an altar call time like that, or, during worship time like that, let me encourage you. The next time that happens like that, I mean, I want to be honest with you. We are praying for the glory of God and the move of God to be evident in this place, that it's not by our words that touches you, but is the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that convicts you, that speaks to you, that causes your eyes to be open, not these eyes, but the eyes of your heart, that it would be enlightened to the things of God, that you'll see that and that you'll be hungry. And you'd be like, man, I want to come back. God, you got something for me. And that, yeah, it may be you will end up coming to the altar. Listen, I'm not saying that you have to, and if you don't do this, it's wrong. I'm not saying that. This is what I do sometimes. When I get caught up being really loud, when I get caught up singing, praising, and worshiping, it's like the Holy Spirit just, and then I just become quiet. Because I don't want to get in the emotion. I want to get caught up in the Spirit, in the move of the Holy Spirit. So yeah, you might hear my loud voice all the way back there. You might hear my loud voice singing. I try not to sing too loud because I don't want my voice on the microphone. But, I just have a loud mouth. But don't say anything, Shannon. I just have a loud mouth. But you might hear me in the back, but then you might not hear me. And it's just, I just want to be transparent with you. Sometimes I just feel that soft, I don't know, what it's not even a, not even a knock, but I just feel it. And I just, okay, I'm not getting caught up. Holy Spirit, what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you speaking to me? I mean, I have a message today, but I know, Holy Spirit, you got something you're saying to me. And I have to, you know, I have to get things right, or I have to, I mean, Holy Spirit's shedding a light to something that I didn't see before, or something in my message that I didn't type or prepare for. So I just encourage you to do that. If it's getting too loud, don't start thinking, oh, well, why is it getting so loud? Why don't you just say, Holy Spirit, what are you doing? God, what are you saying? God, what are you saying to me? Father, I just come to you and I pray. Lord, help us, oh God, to be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to be in tune with what you're saying. I pray, God, even today, let before the whole service is over, Lord, Holy Spirit, you continue to speak what you've been speaking to people. Maybe it's just going through one ear and out the other. Maybe they're hearing it and not receiving it like these Jews. I pray, God, that they'll be tender-hearted. I pray, God, that they will not be prideful, because you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. I pray, Father, that each and every single one of us in this room would humble ourselves before you, God, and seek you and turn from our evil ways, because then you'll hear, you'll respond, you'll forgive, you'll heal. We thank you, Father. My last point is that new spiritual growth brings new challenges. Slide 6 first. New spiritual growth brings new challenges. Acts chapter 13, verse 44. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word. Now listen, these stairs, whoever built them, they did a poor job. But these stairs, you can still get up them. Even though they don't seem perfect, even though some of you are like, that is really bad. That is a bad job. That is a bad concrete job. But you can still go up them. We can still move forward with God, even though we face opposition, even though we're going through spiritual. I think Janine or Shannon said new levels, new devils or whatever. I just wanted to just say new spiritual growth brings new challenges. Go to my next slide. Wasn't there a slide with the Lego? There we go. New spiritual growth. This is something many of you can relate if you have kids. Get up in the middle of the night and step on it. I mean, oh my gosh. And so there will be new challenges, and it will be painful. I mean, you've ever met a Lego in the middle of the night, you know? I mean, it was painful. Here, Acts 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath. So that tells me Paul and Barnabas, they were ready, because people were hungry. They wanted some more. They wanted some more. So next week they went back and they began to share. And this time almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by God. I wonder why. Maybe it was pride. Maybe it was pride. Listen, if God is doing something in the life of someone up here at the altar, even at their seats, and you don't feel a thing, don't start to object or judge on that. I pray that you'll learn to say, oh, God, what are you saying to me? Oh, God, am I missing it? Oh, God, you're bringing this to my mind. Okay, I'm carrying bitterness towards so-and-so. Okay, God, forgive me. I'm not sure if you do that. I'm not sure if you're thinking, why am I thinking about Joe and bitterness? Not that Joe. But why am I thinking about Joe or Mike and bitterness? I mean, seriously, in the middle of praise and worship, all of a sudden you're thinking of some guy named Joe and some guy named Mike that you work with, and that you have some bitterness and that unforgiveness. That's not coincidence. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Partner with the Holy Spirit. New spiritual growth brings new challenges. So here they are. Verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Notice that Paul and Barnabas didn't say, oh, did that hurt you? I'm sorry. I'm sorry that it hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you. Oh, no, come back. I'm sorry. You know, No. It says, listen, you rejected it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles. Purpose right here. I've set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Jesus is our purpose. Verse 48, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as had been appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up, there they go again, more and more, you know, new spiritual growth brings new challenges. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Spirit. Not everyone's going to want to hear you. Not everyone's going to want to receive what you have to say. It was great that there were so many. There were multitudes assembled to hear, that there were many that believed. Not so great that there were those there who should have heard, but they rejected it. Don't miss the mission. You are, it says, set you as a light to be. Now, not Paul and Barnabas were the salvation, but to share the salvation and to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord was being spread and fruitfulness. The purpose of their journey was Jesus and his message. Now, I don't say that when people reject you, however they might reject you, I don't encourage you, oh, and then walk away. I'm not suggesting you doing that, okay? I'm not suggesting you to do that. And here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. God might appoint another day for you to speak to them. But if you do something like that, call it quits. That's the end. They're not going to give you an opportunity to hear what you have to say. So don't do that. I don't know why they did that. Maybe it was because that was the example Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out. If they don't receive you, then go ahead and dust and shake the dust off your feet and then, you know, walk away. So I wouldn't encourage you to do that. Unless the Spirit really tells you to do that. But I wouldn't, because it just might so be you might have an opportunity to share with them again. So again, the purpose of the journey was Jesus and his message, not the people, not the locations. The mission was to share Jesus. The places they went and the people that they spoke to, it changed. But the message never did. I pray that our message that Jesus saves won't change. The people will, the locations will, but the message should never be changed. And my last slide, because of the fact that the message should never be changed, because Jesus, it's only by his name. Only through his name where a man can be saved, where a woman can be saved. Only by the name of Jesus.